We have a time during the year where we can stop and just say, okay, how am I doing? And we've looked at statistics on New Year's resolutions before, what people make resolutions about. And of course, the number one resolution is I'm going to lose weight. And so right after Christmas and after you've eaten everything, you're very conscious of the fact that that's my New Year's resolution. And so the gyms are busy for a week or so, and people are doing great. And then, you know, next year you make the same resolution. So that's one of the things that people make a resolution about. And people make a resolution about spending after they've spent all the money at Christmas, and make resolutions about, you know, just stuff that they're going to do. And I don't think that's bad. I think that there's a principle there where we ought to take the time to do that. And I think it's wonderful that in our country and our society, we have the challenge to do that, that we can look at ourselves and say, here's something I'd really like to alter or change or make better about myself. I was extremely challenged one year by a man that had spoken at an American Association of Christian Schools leadership conference. I go to one in February that's the leaders of the states, and so I end up at that every year. And the man was an owner of a number of Chick-fil-A's, I think it was something like 40 of them, in the Atlanta area, and he was telling us about some of the challenges that he had given himself. A good, godly man, but he challenged himself to read for the new year, to read a certain number of books, and I think he started with just 10 books. Extremely busy man, and so he challenged himself to read 10 books. And he had gotten through that first year, read the 10 books. And the next year he thought that was extremely beneficial. He doubled it to 20. And by the time he was talking to us, his challenge to himself was to read 50 books the next year. And I was very, very challenged by this man. He had a number of other things that as he came to New Year, here was a man who actually looked at his life and made some resolutions and followed through with some of those things. And as a result, they were making him a much better person. He was giving us testimony about how some of those things had really changed him, how some of those things had done him a world of good. And so when I think about New Year's resolutions, there are a number of passages that you can go to and you can think about what am I supposed to do for the year? And Philippians is often one of those passages that I think about. It says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What a great passage of Scripture to tell us. Let's stop looking back and let's look forward. Let's learn from the past and let's move forward and do some things that the Lord wants us to do. I think of other passages that talk about the fact that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that very fact ought to motivate us to make sure that we're prepared for that. Tied in with that is the passage that we read today. The Lord is preaching, or he's teaching, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's not a passage that we're unfamiliar with here in our church. We've often taken passages from it. We've studied all the way through it before. But as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, he mentions the fact that we need to lay up for ourselves treasures. That is, that you need to simply, or in the idea is, put some things in the bank. Have some things that are prepared for the future. Let me say something as far as what this passage is teaching or not teaching. When it says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, he is not dispelling the idea that we should not be prepared for the future. In other words, if you're a person who's looked down the road and said, I'm going to retire when I'm 65 or 70 or 75, it is a wise person who looks at that future and says, I need to be prepared for that. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about you looking at your finances and saying, okay, wisdom teaches us that if God should so allow, we ought to have a nest egg there so that if I have a medical emergency and I'm off of work for a while, I could pay my house payment for, they recommend 6 months. There's nothing at all wrong with that. He's not talking about you looking to the future and saying, I want to provide for my family, I want to be well taken care of. But he does come to this passage and say, I want you to look at treasures the right way. Now, we're not simply looking at money today. This sermon is actually not about money, if anything. You know, I found interesting, I looked at, I watched a program that was one of those New Year's programs. I've had the opportunity to watch television a little more than I normally do. Several of you have asked how I'm feeling. I'm actually doing better, but I'm in that stage, and I'm comforted by some others that have said, I'm feeling better. I don't have my voice completely back, but I'm into about the third week of this, but I'm just extremely tired. I feel like I could just sit and do nothing and be very happy. I'm not really sleepy, just simply tired. And so I've been sitting there, and I've enjoyed watching some football games and watching the news. Well, I was watching the news, and they were going back through the most Googled things in 2014. And so they had the top five that were on there. And so on the top five, number five was the number five top Googled thing in 2014 was Flappy Bird. I don't even know what Flappy Bird is. I'm assuming it's a game. Is that what it is? A game. All right. The young people are telling me that it is a game. All right. I'm curious. I'm going to Google it now. Because I think I might have to play Flappy Bird. But it must be really popular because it was Googled number five on the list. Malaysian Airlines was number four. Understandable. That's the airline that disappeared and they still don't know what happened to it. Number three was Ebola, which again, that makes a lot of sense to me that people are Googling and finding out what is Ebola and how do I keep from getting it and where is it and all that. Number two was the World Cup. And again, very understandable that the World Cup would be something you want to see how your team is doing, and so you Google it and find that out. But number one actually surprised me a little bit. Number one on the Google search this year was Robin Williams' death. I don't know if you remember, but back in August 11th of this year, Robin Williams committed suicide. He was a man who was extremely popular. And he was funny. Some of the movies that you had seen, he was a funny man. I don't know. I've never researched him. I don't know that he was a man who had any Christian beliefs. I think there are some things that we certainly would object to in his humor. But this man was Googled more than anyone else in 2014, especially his death. Here's a man who chose to end his life. Chose to go into eternity. And I wondered how many people have thought about the fact that here's a man who went into eternity and he could now speak authoritatively on some things that he should not have done and some things that he should have done. And as you think about a Robin Williams who made that choice to end his life, I hope that you would come to the place where you say, you know, one of these days I'm going to stand before the Lord and I'm going to give an answer to Him for what I've done with the years that He's given me. I don't know when your time will end. It is very possible that in the people in this room that there will be one or more that will not be here next year at this time. But God will have said, your days upon earth are numbered and it's your time. And as we stand before the Lord, it is something that we have to be prepared for. We have to be ready for that. And so as I think about that, when you come to a new year, this is a great time to make some resolutions that would make sure that your trajectory is what it ought to be. I was fascinated years ago in listening to a book, and I think it was by John Glenn. I tried to look that up right before I came in, and I can't remember the name of the book, but he was talking about they were on their way to the moon and the computer that they had, which was state-of-the-art at that time, but would not even be close to what we have in a phone today. The computer went down, and he had to sit down and in the old way use the graphs to calculate their trajectory to the moon. And he was talking about how important it was, how critical it was that he knew the mathematical formulas. Otherwise, they would have, just with a slight change in trajectory, they would have completely missed the moon. They would never have gotten to where they were supposed to be. And so their trajectory was extremely important. Way, thousands and thousands of miles away, it was important to look out to the future and say, here's where I'm headed. And I think about that for us. It is vitally important that we think about where we're headed and what we're going to do when we get there. What's it going to be like when we land in heaven? When I stand before God, what am I going to have to say? What's He going to say to me? And so my trajectory is something I need to think about on this day, December 28th, 2014. Where am I headed? When I land in heaven, what's it going to be like? And what's God going to require of me? And so I want you to make some decisions today, and maybe not even decisions, but I want you to think through some spiritually motivated resolutions today. What about your spiritual life? Now, there's no doubt I could stand up and give you a challenge about physical things you need to do, your sleeping habits, your weight, your staying in shape. But let's talk just spiritually today about some things that you might need to do. What are some things, if you look at your trajectory, you might say, when I stand before the Lord, I'm afraid I'm going to be ashamed of that. And the fact is that if we look at this passage of Scripture, it is telling us, the Lord in the beginning of this sermon, the foundation of His sermon was, that people lay up earthly treasures year after year. You could really say that people focus on earthly treasures year after year. Year to year to year, we have our focus on something that is not going to be eternal. And as we look at those treasures, and the year after year that we focus our attention on those things, if I look at the trajectory, I realize I may need to make some changes in order to enjoy the time that I stand before God. And so I came to the place where I thought, I'm going to ask myself some questions about my life. And so as I ask myself those questions and think about things that I need to do, I want you to ask those questions with me. I want you to evaluate the old year and move purposefully into the new year. And in order to do that, let me throw out three questions that are from this passage that might help you in getting a good evaluation of that and then purposefully moving into the new year. You have a couple of days to think about these things and to come to some conclusions. So here's question number one. When I look at verses 19 and 20, I have to ask myself, where am I laying up treasures? Now, let's look at the passage and make sure we understand why we're asking that question. Go back to verses 19 and 20 in the passage. In verse 19 it says, "Do not lay or lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Here are two choices that you have. You can lay up treasures on this earth, or you can lay up treasures in heaven. Now, let me repeat what I said when I started this message, because this is where it's important, and if you're not wanting to listen, this is your excuse. He's not talking about being a good steward of what you have. He's not talking about being prepared when you retire. He's not talking about having money set aside if you lose your job. That's not what he's talking about. He expects you to be a good steward of what He gives you. The fact is, God is going to give some people more than He gives others. That's God's choice. God is going to give some people a little bit and say, you be a good steward of that. He is, in His infinite wisdom, going to give others a lot of His stuff and say, you be a good steward of that. That's up to God. That is totally up to Him. And what He chooses to give you, He is expecting you to be a good steward of. And so if you have a little bit, then be a good steward of that. If you have a lot, then be a good steward of that. He actually warns us and says, the people who have a lot are going to have trouble being good stewards. And while they look like things are going great on the earth, they're some of the ones that are going to have the hardest time in heaven. How difficult it is for a rich man to enter into heaven, because he trusts in those things. So He's not talking about being a good steward of what you have. He is talking about the focus of your life. He says, you know, I want to tell you, number one, there's a choice. You can lay up treasures in heaven or here on earth. Let's look at the negative one first. In verse 19, he takes the negative side of that, and he says, I want you to understand that people can lay up treasures on earth. I don't think I need to spend a lot of time dealing with this. I think most of us would understand what it means to lay up treasures on earth. And again, not talking about good stewardship, but really focusing on that, that I want this. And let's say that you have a goal in your life. I want to be a man with $100,000 in the bank. All right? You work and work and you spend overtime and you give maybe even just the bare minimum that you can give, maybe the tithe, but you work and work and spend time and scrimp and save and you get $100,000 in the bank. All right? There's nothing wrong with having $100,000. But what happens when a person gets $100,000 in the bank? What do they want? $200,000. You know, that's our human nature. And then what do they want? $500,000. And then how much do you want? Well, $1,000,000. And then, well, there are other people who have $1,000,000, and that might not be quite enough. And my focus becomes earthly treasures. You know what the problem with that is? It's fleeting. I mean, money is really one of those things that you got to have it. You need it to live, but it's so fleeting. I mean, your money can be stolen. Your money can be squandered. Your money won't help you when you're lying in a casket. And much like Solomon, when he wrote Ecclesiastes, he says, man, this whole stuff battle. And that's what he talks about in Ecclesiastes. He says, I got all this stuff. And he said, what really bothers me is I've worked to get this stuff. And when I leave, you know who's going to get my stuff? Fools. I mean, I look at the people around me. I've worked hard to put all this stuff together. I've got houses, castles. I've got animals. I've got exotic birds. I've got gardens that I've spent millions on. And when I die, Bubba's going to get it. And he's an idiot. He's going to squander it. It doesn't give you much comfort. And you read through Ecclesiastes, and really, if you put it in the modern vernacular, he said, it's just not worth it to spend so much time getting all this stuff because it doesn't help me. And he comes to the conclusion, the whole purpose of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. I've been spending a lot of time on earthly treasures, putting all of these things aside, getting all the toys that I can get, getting the money I can get, getting the stocks that I can get, getting all of these things. And wow, if I get sick, it doesn't help me at all. I mean, there's certain things they just can't cure. God can choose to take me today and my money doesn't do me any good in heaven. God doesn't need it. He has all of it. And you put your emphasis on earthly treasures, and you're putting your emphasis on something that has no real eternal value. Oh, it can give you some earthly pleasures. Nobody would deny that. But it is not something that gives you a stable foundation where you're going to be happy. All of us know the more money you have, the happier you are, right? Everybody knows that's not true. We've seen all the stories about people who have won the lottery and it destroyed their life. Few people can handle that. All the football players who make millions of money and end up broke, bankrupt after they retire. The money just doesn't do it. And so here you are, the question, where am I laying up treasures? Well, you have a choice. You can lay up treasures on this earth. You can be one who focuses on getting this or this or this. I mean, I have sat down and contemplated, probably with a lot of you, what is it that I could actually put money in or have that can't be destroyed by a recession? I mean, do I buy gold? Do I buy houses? Do I buy currency from 10 different countries? I mean, it's a real battle. It's a real challenge. Do I buy salt? Do I buy toilet paper? Everybody's going to need that. I mean, what is it that I put my money in that's going to be forever good? I don't know. And these earthly treasures are things that you realize they're not as stable as I would like for them to be. But you have another option. It says here that instead of laying up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth, that's kind of clothing, and rust, anything steal like a car, and thieves break through and steal, instead of all of that, why don't you lay up treasures in heaven? And he said, let me tell you the tremendous value of treasures in heaven. They're secure. Where you get a piece of clothing, and I'm sure that there are people today that have new clothing on. And that clothing today is so crisp and nice and new. I got a new tie. Look at that. And my wife made sure, look, I match. I even have, look at that. Yeah. In a year, I'm hoping I haven't streaked something down it. By the end of today, I'm hoping I haven't, put something down it. But see, that stuff doesn't last. And cars, I enjoy my truck thoroughly. But the poor thing's starting to rust. And it's not going to outlast me. Well, never know. But thieves break through and steal. We have the cyber threats that are out there. And he said, the wonderful thing about heaven? You don't have to worry about anybody stealing what you lay up there. It is as secure as anything you'll get. It's interesting to study this passage out because there are some commentators that take this and say, oh, these are the things that God is going to give you in heaven. Heaven itself, a mansion, His eternal love and His presence and the opportunity to glorify Him. I don't think that's true. Now, you're going to get all those. But I don't think that's what he means at all. Because he specifically in this passage says, I want you to lay up. I want you to take things and put them in the heavenly bank. And I want you to store them up there for when you get there. That's the idea. Just like you purchase things and you purchase, I have a gun safe. You purchase a gun and take it and put it in that safe and store it up and lock it. You take money and you put it in the bank and trust that they'll keep it safe. You buy a car and you lock it so nobody steals it. Just like those things you get and actually store up. I think that's what he's talking about in heaven as well. But there are some things that you can literally store up in heaven. And God himself will sit there and say, this is waiting for you when you get there. What are those things? Wow, that's quite a list. When I think about those things, I ask myself the question, where am I laying up treasures? I wonder, how many treasures did I put in heaven this past year? How many of the things that I've done in 2014 will be labeled 2014 hold for Doug Wright when he gets to heaven? That's quite a question. Are there any people that I've won to the Lord as a result of my efforts really going out and winning somebody to Christ, and that's laying up in heaven? Are there any things that I've done? People that I've gone out of my way to help, and he said, hey, mark that 2014 and put it up here in heaven. When he gets here, that's his. Are there some other worship events that I've been to where I've worshiped God and my heart has been right? Are there prayers that he's marked and said, hey, mark that one, 2014, and put it over here because when he gets to heaven, that's his? How many things have I done this year that really say, I've marked that as yours and I'm laying it up as a treasure in heaven for you? I believe there is a point where he says, these things are things you're doing for eternity. You see, we will face the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, it says we'll receive the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. And I think those things are going to be there. And we will have reward or loss of reward as a result of that. Make sure you understand. There are two judgment seats that are talked about in Scripture. There's the Great White Throne Judgment. And the Great White Throne Judgment is one that you don't want to be at. Because the Great White Throne Judgment is the place where all of the unsaved dead are going to be there. What's the unsaved dead? Well, an unsaved dead person is a person who did not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, to save him from the penalty of his sin. Every person has sinned, and every person will have to answer for their sin. So when you stand before God, he's going to say, you will spend an eternity apart from me paying for your sin. That's what it means to be judged for your sin. But Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you from the penalty of that sin. So you can be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to do that, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I believe my sin is placed upon him and his righteousness is placed upon me. And so I'm right with God because of what Jesus Christ has done. I have to literally come to the place where I believe that to be true for me. I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, have you done that? If you've not, then you're going to be at the great white throne judgment. That's the judgment of the unsaved dead. And it's really not a judgment. It is the time when he will send you away for judgment for eternity. Now, if that's where you're going to go, the first priority you have today is to get saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. He loves you. He wants you to trust him. And I hope you'll think that through today and you'll trust Christ as your Savior. The other judgment in the Bible is the judgment seat of Christ. And that's the time when those of us who are believers will stand before him and we will receive the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. And he said there's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. That'll be burned up. Those are things that were of no value. And there's gold, silver, and precious stone. Those are the things that are marked 2014. Hold that for him. He's coming. And that belongs to him. How many of those things have you laid up in heaven in 2014? Here's the question I ask myself. As I look back through 365 days, 361, I believe at this point, 362. As I look back through 362 days, how many treasures have I laid up in heaven? How many treasures are there for me? Well, I wasn't overly thrilled with the answer. How are you doing? Let me go to the second question because it again is from this passage. Let's go back to the passage and look at verse 21. He gives us a principle. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then he uses an illustration. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be clear or single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be bad or evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now let's understand the illustration first, and then we'll make the application. He said, the light of the body is the eye. He doesn't mean that your eye produces light. He means the only way that light can come into your body is through the eye. Eyes plural, but that's a singular thing. If your eye is clear, your body is full of light. How important your eyes are. And you have light that comes in because of that. He said, oh man, if your eye is evil or your eye is dark, if it's clouded over, if you've lost vision, how great is that darkness? He's talking about a singularity of focus. There is only one way to get light in, and it's the eye. And if that becomes cloudy, if that becomes covered, you'll never get light in. It's so important to take care of the eyes. You know that. Boy, how many times have you been doing something and perhaps you've thought, I should have goggles on, or maybe you've actually done something and thought, I know I should have had goggles on. I was weed eating one time, and I actually had goggles on. But I was weed eating, and while I was weed eating, a piece of grass, tiny piece of grass, flew up under the goggle and stuck in my eye. I mean, actually, just a piece of it just embedded itself in my eye. And so for a day or two, I tried myself to kind of work that out and blink it out. And it was below the contact lens. But boy, it was just irritating. I finally went to the eye doctor. Took him just a few minutes. He got his little tweezers and got in there and pulled it out and said, here's what it was. And it was just a little piece of straw-like grass. And it had stuck straight into my eye. Boy, that was irritating. And he charged me a pie. He said, "Does your wife cook?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, tell her to bring me a pie." And that's all he charged me. I don't know why. It was really strange, but I baked him a pie. I didn't bake him a pie. Christy baked him a pie. And I took it back to him. But you know, it emphasizes how, I wonder how many times something has bounced off those goggles before, because my eyes, without them, you can't see. Well, what's the principle? He said in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, we often think of it the opposite way. We think, I'm going to put my treasures where my heart is. But he actually states it the opposite way. He said, "What I'll tell you is that your investment determines your interest." Let me illustrate this for you. I've got to stay here, so I better not move. I don't have many stocks. I haven't found myself extremely proficient in that. I have one that is called X. Does anybody know what X is? But in the stock market, yeah. It's United States Steel. It's in Pittsburgh, and for a long time, United States Steel did very well. And then all of a sudden, it didn't do very well. And I still own it. You know what I do? I still check X, hoping that it will go up. I have an interest in it. You know why I have an interest in X on the stock market? Because I have an investment there. My heart follows my investment. I have a few stocks from GE. And so I have GE on my phone. You can bring up the stocks and guess what's on there. My dad worked for EQT, Equitable Gas Company. And so I own a little bit of stock in EQT. Now, you probably don't have that on your phone. You probably don't check that. But if you own stocks, you check them because you've invested there. You see, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Because I have money in those things, my heart follows. Because I've put my treasures there. And your treasures are more than money. Your time is invested in something. Your talents are invested in something. And so your heart follows those things. We often think it's the other way around. Because I love steel, I'll put money in it. Because I love GE, I'll put money in it. No. It's because I have money in it that my heart follows it. And that's exactly what he says. Because you have investments in these things, you have interest in them. And so I ask myself, what am I currently investing in? What am I investing in? When I come to my interest reveal my investment. What am I interested in? That tells me what I've invested in. And so I have to come to the place where I figure out, what am I investing in? What do I spend my time doing? What do I spend my money on? What do I use my talents to do? Wow, that's a convicting question. Because how I answer this is going to affect my first question. If I'm not laying up very many treasures in heaven, it's because I'm currently investing in things that are not going to last for eternity. They're not things that the Lord is putting in my credit when I get to heaven. And so when I ask myself, what am I currently investing in? I came to some conclusions and thought, you know, I need to spend more of my investment opportunities, time, talents, treasures, in other things that are going to have eternal value, that are going to have treasures in heaven connected with them. Let me go to the third question, because here's where the rubber meets the road. How can I change or alter the outcome? What can I change to alter the outcome? This is where we get to resolutions. I'm assuming as you sit there today that you probably come to the same conclusion that I do. But wow, when I really go back through and I say, okay, I'm going to evaluate the last 362 days. And I'm going to ask, out of those 362 days, how am I doing at laying up treasures in heaven? How many of those things have my name on them and have a date on them? And when I get to heaven, the Lord's going to say, this is yours. You've laid it up here in heaven, and I've taken care of it for you. Well, that determines or is determined by the investments that I'm making. And as I make those investments, I realize that's not nearly what I want. And you understand that in a physical sense. Many of you here would have a 401k. And as you look at that 401k, probably either through email or you get a paper. I get a paper every month that has my investment on it, and it gives you the amount that it was last month and the amount it was this month. And what do you want to see? You want to see a higher amount this month than last month. And so you look at it and you say, hey, this investment is not doing very well. This investment is not getting the return that I want. Well, this is what we're trying to do physically, spiritually in our lives. Ask the question, all right, how are you investing your time, talents, and treasures? And are you getting the return that you want? Are you getting things in heaven laid up for you so that when you get the report from God and He says, hey, you've got this, this, and this laid up in heaven, is God saying, yeah, your sheet's pretty blank this year. You don't have anybody that you've won to the Lord. You didn't really spend time encouraging people. Even in church, you weren't there Sunday nights and Wednesday. And you didn't go out of your way to help anybody that was hurting. Oh, there was one. I do see that. And you didn't really spend any time reading the Scripture this year. Well, a couple of days, but that was because you had to do this or this. But you don't have much. What can I change in order to alter the outcome? This is the real rubber meets the road question. What am I going to do differently in 2015 than I did in 2014? And I have to come to the place where I realize what verse 24 teaches. Go back to the Scripture and get the final application of this, because he says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is the Aramaic word for money. You can't serve both. You have to come to the place where you decide, I'm going to serve one or the other, because you cannot effectively serve both of those. You have a choice to make. You have to either serve God or serve selfish purposes. You're going to have to choose, though. Now, it's going to continue to be a daily battle, but there's going to be a point where I realize neither one of the people is happy. If you are one of those that's trying to split your time, I'm going to work and I'm going to build up my earthly treasures, and oh man, I got to go to church Sunday morning though, and I could be working, and with Sunday night I could be out there doing this and this and this, but I got to go to church. Wednesday night it comes. And oh, that pastor, he had a whole week of meetings and took my time this week. And you begrudgingly go. You know who's happy? Neither God nor you. Because you can't serve God and self. Boy, if you just get excited about serving God, I'm going to give God His time. I'm going to be at Grow when I'm supposed to be there. I'm going to be there for choir and enjoy it. I'm going to be there for church and enjoy it because I'm serving God. I'm going to give out some tracts because I'm serving God. And I'm going to give in to Him and do what He wants me to do. If you're miserable, most of the time it's because you're trying to split your time between both. He hit the nail on the head, didn't he? That I know I've got to go to church. I know I got to read my Bible, but I got to do it so I can get it done and get off to what I really want to do. You cannot serve God and mammon. And you're going to have to sit down, and here's what I'm challenging you to do. Remember the T's, the time, the talents, the treasures, and often I'll put a fourth one in there, the truth that's been entrusted to you. How could you change your use of time to lay up some treasures in heaven? Are you watching way more television than you should? Are you on the internet a lot more than you should be? Are you spending time doing even some good things that are taking away your opportunity to lay up treasures in heaven? What about your talents? You have abilities. God has given you those. God has gifted people so that His church will never struggle. Do you know that? There should not be a burden on any one person in our church because He's gifted everyone. Are you using your talents for the Lord? When you say, "I hear my talents," am I using them so that I've laid up some treasures in heaven? Are you doing your part? You may need to do a little extra to pick up for some people who are slacking off a little bit. How about your treasures? You know, the same thing is true on treasures that it is on the others. If we're all giving the way God wants us to give, if we're all being stewards the way God wants us to be stewards, we would not have struggles. The burden would not fall to any one person. And I'm thrilled with the way our people give. But I'll tell you, I know that there are people who are struggling in this giving, and you're giving because I know God wants it. But boy, it's hard for me. You can't serve God and mammon. You need to do one or the other. You're going to be miserable. And neither God nor mammon are going to be happy. And here comes the point where you have to say, what am I going to change to alter the outcome? You've been given truth. Time, talents, treasures, truth. You're a guardian of truth. How are you doing guarding the truth? Are you letting it be watered down and washed away? I believe when you get to heaven, God's going to look at you and say, what did you do with that? I passed on to you truth. I passed my holiness on to you. And what did you do with it? Lay up treasures in heaven. What can you change this coming year to alter the outcome? Your time, your talents, your treasures, the truth. What are you going to do with those things? And you're going to have to come to a place where you make a realistic plan. Say, okay, I am going to change my use of time this way. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's a talent I'm going to make sure that I use this year for the Lord to lay up treasure in heaven. Here's what I'm going to do financially because this is me serving God. I'm going to be a guardian of truth because God has given that to me. And you're going to lay up treasures in heaven, but you're going to have to make some realistic, specific resolutions that are going to make a change in your life. You know, you come back to where we started, and that is that we want to change our trajectory. It is a great thing, and all the way to the moon, they're checking the trajectory. How are we doing? Are we still on target? All right, it's the end of 2014, and here's the great opportunity you have. Check your trajectory. Are you on course to lay up treasures in heaven? Or are you way off course? Listen, if you're sitting here breathing today, you can change your trajectory. You can get yourself back to the place where you say, all right, got to read my Bible because I want to serve God, not myself. I want to use my time to do what God wants me to do. And oh, you'll be thrilled. In eternity, the 60, 70, 80, 90 years that you live here on this earth, that's the time that you have to lay up those treasures. In eternity, you will be thrilled that you took the time to do that. Lay up treasures in heaven. What we have to do is come to the place where we make realistic resolutions that will change our trajectory. And you're going to have to think that through. You're going to have to make application. This is not a one-time sermon. This is a sermon for you to think about and say, what should I be doing? In a moment, we're going to bow and we're going to finish as we normally do. And I'm going to ask you to do two things. Number one, if you're not a believer, Todd and Sherry will be in the back of the auditorium. And if you need to talk to somebody, we want to show you how you can be saved. But the second thing is this. I'm going to ask every person who's a believer to say, Lord, will you help me in the next couple of days to come to some realistic resolutions, realistic, that will change my trajectory. Your time, your talents, your treasures, your guardianship of the truth. How are you going to make some changes that will lay up treasures in heaven? You're going to have to figure that out. You're going to have to make those things stick so that you'll accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. Let's go ahead and stand together, please. We're going to pray here in just a moment, and then we're going to play through a stanza of the song, I Surrender All. And often that's what it's going to take for you to come to the place where you see real change, that I'm willing to surrender what God has given, surrender to what God wants me to do. Let's bow for prayer, please. Father in heaven, thank you for the time. And God, I pray this morning that as we've looked at the opportunities we have, that you'll help us to be serious about laying up treasures in heaven. God, what kindness you have shown to us. And Lord, in many of these areas, you've given us abundance. And many times we're squandering those opportunities. And so, God, I pray that you'll help us to be serious about accomplishing things that will be beneficial for eternity and bring glory to you. Now, with our heads bowed, as we play through this, will you just take the time and say, Lord, help me to realize what I need to do. If you need to be saved this morning, will you make your way to the back?